The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So let's get started on this thing. Again, if you're just jumping onto the broadcast, this is Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. Today, we've got a prophetic message. So for all the guys and the gals, Southerners say guys, and they call women guys, and we just call everybody a general term of guys. You know, hey, guys, how's it going? So sorry, I got to keep remembering that not everybody here is from the South. But nevertheless, we're going to be dealing with a particular subject that I find interesting. It's a prophetic subject, and it's called Unlocking the Mystery of the Last Trump. So if you're just joining us on podcasts, we welcome you. If you're listening here by YouTube or by Facebook, we welcome you today and thank you for joining us on the broadcast. So guys, let's get started on this thing real quick. Give me about 45 minutes. I'm really going to plow into the Word of God, and we're going to show you some stuff that I think you'll find intriguing. And again, I want to make this disclaimer up front. I know not everyone is going to see eye to eye on this particular topic or this particular subject, although we welcome all. We welcome comments, we welcome points of view, but we also ask you to be responsible with your comments and that you be respectful of myself and this ministry and other people. If you can't do that, then our admin here, Jessica, will have to remove you from our Facebook Live page and also from YouTube as well. That's just how we don't allow division and discord and strife to take place. So, because we all have opinions and different perspectives of views, but some people just take it too far, okay? So 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm going to give you a chance to, you can put a bookmark there, a thumb there. These are our two main contextual foundational scriptures that we're going with here. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18. We're going to kind of dovetail these two off together. The Apostle Paul wrote both of these letters. One was to the church of Corinth, and one was to the church of Thessalonica. Okay, so let's go to the church of Corinth first. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, let me read this entire text and then I want to elaborate. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Somebody say the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Okay, and then our next verse is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. These two scriptures absolutely parallel with one to another. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Somebody say the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All right, so I'm going to go back up to the Paul addresses the church of Corinth here in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. And he, right off the bat, he emphasizes here that what he's about to tell the church here is a mystery. Somebody say it's a mystery. What do I mean by it? A mystery? It's an enigma. It's hidden. It's veiled. And it's interesting that Paul, let me give you a little bit of a backdrop here. You can find all this in the Bible, in the New Testament. The book of Galatians talks about this. When Saul of Tarsus was converted into Paul, the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, Paul, who was Saul at the time, consented to the stoning of Stephen. He stood there while Stephen was stoned. He was martyred. And I believe a martyr's mantle came upon Saul of Tarsus. And then Saul was breathing threats to the church. He had orders to arrest people. Some people were being killed and stoned and murdered. And Paul himself even addressed to the churches and said that he caused many to blaspheme the Lord. So while he's on his way to carry out these acts, on the road to Damascus, he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know the story. He gets knocked off of his horse. He's blind. He has to go to a man who, by the power of the Holy Ghost, prays for him. He receives his sight. He gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. And your Bible says that, according to Paul's own words, the Apostle Paul said that he did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. In other words, he didn't check with everyone else to see if it was okay with them, if he could preach the gospel. He was called by God himself to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But your Bible says, by Paul's own words, that he first went to a place called Arabia, and there he was there for 3 years and received the mysteries of the Lord. Now, these mysteries are all recorded in his New Testament writings. There's the mystery of Christ and the church, the mystery of the rapture of the church, the mystery of the resurrection. There's about 9 mysteries that the Apostle Paul received while he was in Arabia. This is really an interesting. Where he was the same location where Moses received the commandments of the Lord there in Arabia at Mount Sinai. Isn't that interesting? And I'm going to show you how all this is going to play. So then the Apostle Paul, after 3 years of receiving these direct downloads from heaven, he begins to address the churches all throughout different locations. He addresses the church of Corinth. He addresses the church of Galatia. He addresses the church of Thessalonica. He addresses the church in Rome. He begins to address the churches. And he begins to unravel these mysteries. Now, one of these mysteries is what we're talking about today. He says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, that word sleep there is an idiom meaning to die. Death or die. It does not mean you go pull up a bed, you pull up a pillow, and you pull up a blanket, and you set your alarm, and you go to sleep. He says, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment. And that word moment is atomos. It's we shall be changed in an atomos second. The twinkling of an eye. It's quicker than you blinking your eye. It's that fast. He says, and this will happen, and he tells them specifically when it will happen. He said it will happen at the last trump. Somebody say the last trump. Now, let me talk about this for a second. Who is he addressing here? The church. Everybody has to agree with that today. He's addressing the church. Now, who did the church predominantly make up? Answer, Jews. I'm going to prove it to you. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out, they were all Jewish. The first Gentile convert to come into the New Testament was in Acts chapter 10, and it was a man of the Italian regiment by the name of Cornelius. He and his household received salvation. Watch this. You read this, it's in the book of Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is praying, he's fasting, he's seeking the Lord, and an angel of the Lord appears to him, and he says, Cornelius, your giving, your prayers, and your alms have come up before the Lord as a memorial, and because of this, I am going to send a man to you, and he is going to be a Jew. And this man is his name is Peter, who happens to be on the housetop of Joppa, and he's praying and he's fasting because I'm going to give Peter a direct revelation from heaven that the gospel is no longer going to be too isolated to the Jews only, but now it's going to go to the Gentiles. So here's Peter on the housetop of Joppa. the same time frame is fasting and praying. He receives this download from heaven. He sees a sheet with all kinds of clean or unclean animals that he would consider to be unclean. And he says, arise and eat. And Peter, while he's meditating on this dream, the Lord speaks to him. Are these men come from the house of Cornelius who were Gentiles? They were Italians, and they're seeking Peter. And the Lord speaks to Peter and he says, do not call unclean what I've called clean. And he was not talking about food. He was talking about the Gentiles. So your Bible says, oh, I'm going to get to the last trump. So we're going to build all this up to get to this. Okay. So Peter and his group of Jewish men took a little journey to the house of Cornelius, which was an Italian family, Gentiles. And what did the Lord tell Cornelius? He said, I'm going to send you a man by the name of Peter who's going to open his mouth and he's going to speak to you the words of life. Well, read it in your Bible in Acts chapter 10. Peter shows up with his entourage. Cornelius is there with his entourage. You got Jews and you got Gentiles in the same house, which was unheard of in the time that this was written in the New Testament. They did not do this. The Jews did not fellowship with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles did not fellowship with the Jews. Okay? But when Peter began to open his mouth, as the Lord spoke to him to do, and he began to declare the Lord Jesus Christ, your Bible says that Cornelius and all those in the household of Cornelius received the message of the gospel. They believed the gospel. And your Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard the gospel, and they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with a new tongue. And it was so perplexing to the Jews that were there with Peter that they spoke up and they were amazed. They were perplexed. They were bewildered that the gift of the Holy Spirit was being poured out onto the Gentiles also. So Peter stood up and said, who are we to forbid, come on, the living water to be dispersed to all that would receive it? So what's my point? My point is that the early New Testament church was predominantly Jews. Howbeit, until Gentiles began to come into the church in Acts chapter 10. Now, having said that the church was a predominantly Jewish audience, I propose to you that the Apostle Paul did not need to elaborate on what the last trump was. Listen, it could not have been the last trumpet that the seventh angel is blowing in the book of Revelation, because John the Revelator had not even written the book of Revelation yet. It was not even compiled nor written, and Paul's already talking about a last trump. He's not talking about a trumpet blast from an angel. I'm going to prove that to you in a second that that's not what he's talking about. There's a lot of people that say the catching away or the gathering together or the rapture of the church happens in the book of Revelation with the last angel blowing the trumpet. No, that is not it. Because again, the reason why Paul, nowhere in the scriptures did you read about the church coming to Paul privately and asking Paul to explain to them, hey, what is this last trump? We're perplexed. We don't understand what this means. Can you elaborate more? Remember in the Gospels when Jesus would constantly speak in parables, the Bible says, and then he spoke in a parable and said this. And then he spoke in an enigma and he said this. And then many times you'll read in the New Testament where the disciples would pull Jesus alone in private and they would ask him, can you elaborate more and explain in the detail what you meant by these parables? You'll find that in the New Testament Gospels dealing with Jesus and the things he spoke in parables. But notice that nowhere in the scriptures did the church of Corinth or the church of Thessalonica, where Paul mentioned the last trump and the trump of God dealing with the gathering together of the church and the resurrection of the dead, nowhere did they come to Paul and ask him, can you elaborate a little bit more on this last trump thing? Can I tell you why? It's simple. Because the church was predominantly Jews, and they understood, number one, they understood Jewish traditions. They understood the oracles of God. They understood the feast of the Lord. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Okay? But let me read on. So we're going to put a little bookmark there, and we're going to go back and we're going to elaborate a little bit more. So I want to keep all this in mind. He said, in a twinkle of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Notice he made a distinction from the dead and we. Let me say it again. I said he made a distinction between the dead and we. He didn't put us together in the same lump. He says, we shall be changed, and the corruptible must put on incorruption, and mortal must put on immortality. Now watch this. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. This is written to the church of Thessalonica. For the Lord himself shall, not an angel, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. So notice, there's the Lord with the collaboration of the archangel. Now, is this going to be Michael? Some speculate this. But it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel. Notice, it didn't say just an angel. If you go over to the Revelation, if we put the last trump there with the rapture being taken place there, there's nowhere mentioning of the Lord, but just an angel. And we're going to elaborate on that too. So we're going to get to these places. We got to get through these scriptures. He said, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Again, nowhere did he have to emphasize what this means. He didn't explain this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Again, a distinction between the dead and we. In other words, when this event, when this glorious, hallelujah, when this glorious event takes place, the dead will rise first, and the we here is the we that is going to be alive and remaining and on the earth when this event takes place. There's a distinction. It says, and then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where? In the air. And so shall we be ever, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now I was going to get into, based on the thread of this and what I'm feeling in my spirit, I don't need to elaborate on. A lot of times I have to elaborate on the word rapture, and because people get caught up and says it's not found in the Bible and this, and I have to elaborate on that. But let me just say this real quick. There's many words not found in your Bible that people use as a description for other events that you won't find in the 1611 King James Bible. I'm going to go through these pretty quick. Number one is demon. You won't find that word. You won't find Trinity. You're not going to find millennial reign. You're not going to find divinity. You're not going to find these words, but yet they're used in sermons. They're used behind pulpits. They're used by theologians all over the world, but yet they're not found in Scripture. Now, why is that? Because they're terms used to describe a thing, a situation, a place, an event. Come on, somebody. So don't get caught up on this word rapture. Use the word, you can use caught up, you can use harpezo, which means to snatch away suddenly, gathering together, whatever term you want. Whatever doesn't set you off or trigger you. You know, I preached this message this past Sunday live in a church in Cordon, Indiana. And I told the church I was there. I said, you know, it's funny because two words will set, you can spark more riots on social media and stir up more devils by preaching on two. You can use two terms today in the church that will cause more division in any other two words. Ready? It's the word rapture and the word Trump. I could just mention the word Trump or mention the word rapture, and in 5 minutes, you'll have a full-blown riot breakout on social media. It's just truth, guys. Okay, I don't have time to elaborate. I could really dig into this and talk about. Listen, let me break this down in 3 minutes. The New Testament mentions clearly there will be two returns of the Lord. One return of the Lord is for the saints. The next return is with the saints. One, he comes for the saints and takes them with them. They go with him. Come on. And Isaiah says, come into my chambers, though it be for a little while, and hide until the indignation has passed. We are caught up together with him in the clouds. There, while we're in heaven, the wrath of God is being poured out during the tribulation. We go through the Bema, we're judged there. We go through the marriage supper of the Lamb. All that takes place in heaven, not on earth. Okay, but then you go to the book of Jude, and the Bible says that, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Again, I'm going to tell you something. Again, the Lord comes the first time for the saints. Not every eye is going to see him. He comes secretly. He comes, come on, in an hour and the day that you know not. And he comes for the saints, and then he comes with the saints. He comes with the saints to set up his kingdom on the earth. He comes with the saints to step his foot on the Mount of Olives and splits it in two. He comes with the saints to rule with a rod of iron. Come on, somebody. All right. Let me skip over this. So again, let me go back up to the mystery of the last trump. Again, the Apostle Paul did not have to elaborate on what the last trump was, because the majority of the church was Jews, and they understood things that many of the Western church don't understand. Listen, guys, if you think you can just pick up your Bible and read it from a Western perspective, you're wrong. You can't. It's a fact that the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. God operates and he moves in seasons, cycles, and patterns. And whether you like it or not, let me say that again. Our God operates in seasons, cycles, and patterns. He moves in typologies. He moves in parallels. That which was in the Old Testament is a parallel in the New Testament, and you'll see New Testament's parallel with the Old Testament. Jesus is paralleled all through the Old Testament, and he's revealed in the New Testament. Come on, my goodness, even when Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading the portion of Isaiah, he was reading about Jesus Christ and didn't even realize it until Philip began to reveal to him that he was reading about Yeshua all the way back in the Old Testament. Come on, somebody, because they didn't have a New Testament then. He wasn't reading the New Testament. He was reading the law and the prophets and the Torah. And the apostle or Philip came and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I, lest one give me the understanding of it? And he reveals to him Yeshua or Jesus. So I propose to you that the New Testament church of Corinth and Thessalonica, in which Paul both addressed this catching away, this gathering together associated with the last trump, I propose to you that the mystery of this is tied in with one of the seven feasts of the Lord. Now, people say this all the time. Well, you know, brother, those are the feasts of the Jews, and I don't study them. I don't commemorate them. and I don't celebrate them. Well, first of all, they're not nowhere in the Bible is it called the Feast of the Jews. It's called the Feast of the Lord, not the Feast of the Jews. And whether you like it or not, you may not agree with it, you may not like it, and you may want to take it out of your Bible, but I can show you in Zechariah, when Jesus Christ comes back with the saints, he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years in the new millennial. We, if you plan on being with him, come on, and the new when the kingdom's set up on the earth, if you plan on being there, you're going to be participating in these feasts because they're mentioned it. They're mentioned in portions of Zechariah and other places in the Bible. So whether you like it or not, you might as well start practicing it. Now, am I saying we have to celebrate the seven feasts of Israel? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell if you don't commemorate them. What I'm saying is we need to study these things because God still moves, whether you believe it or not, he moves through these feasts. He does not operate on our calendar. He has his own calendar. He doesn't operate on the Gregorian calendar. He operates on our calendar. So there's the times and seasons of the Lord, the feast of the Lord, at the fullness of time this happened, at the fullness of time that happened. And when the fullness of time had come, such and such. I'm telling you guys, seasons, cycles, and patterns the Lord operates through. Now listen, there's seven major feasts of Israel. I believe four of the seven, which are the spring feast, have already been fulfilled by Yeshua. Let me go through these real quick. Passover was fulfilled when Jesus became the Passover lamb. Come on, at the cross, he became the Passover lamb. The second feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This points to Yeshua or Jesus being, he had a sinless life. He was without sin, the Bible said. His body laid in the tomb. And just like a kernel of wheat has to be planted and die before it springs forth, the same happened with Jesus and his body. So he fulfilled unleavened bread. Number three, the first fruits, the feast of first fruits followed after unleavened bread. This points absolutely to the Messiah being raised from the dead, becoming the first fruits of the dead. And then we move 50 days later to the Feast of Pentecost, which happened in Acts chapter 2, and that's when the church was birthed, was on the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? So this was fulfilled. But then we move to the last three feasts of Israel, and I call these the fall feasts. And consequently, so if you want to know where we are prophetically on the timetable of the Lord, we're not at Passover, we're not at unleavened bread, we're not at first fruits, and we're not at Pentecost. We are at the Feast of Trumpets. The next feast was the Feast of Trumpets. Now here's what's interesting. During the Feast of Trumpets, there was a cessation of trumpets blown. And during the cessation of trumpets that were blown, there would be a group of trumpets blown, and this would be called this. And there'd be a group of trumpets blown, and it would be called this. Okay? So let me go over these four groups of trumpet blasts that happened during the Feast of Trumpets. Number one was the tekiah, and this was a long single blast, and it represented joy and contentment. And then there was another wave of trumpet blasts, and this was called the shevarim, and it was a combination of broken notes which serves to symbolize weeping. And then there was the trua, which is to symbolize trepidation, sorrow, and sobbing. But listen to this. But the last and the longest trumpet blast. So this was called the last trump. Let me say it again. You didn't hear me. I said it was called the last trump. The Jews understood the Feast of Trumpets. They understood the last trump. And in Hebrew, it was called the Tekiah Hagudalah. And it was the longest and loudest trumpet blast, and you ready for this? It represented redemption. Guys, again, let me go back up here. So now look at 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 53. I tell you a mystery. We will not all be dead, or we will not all stay dead. We will not remain dead, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. Every Jew that was there understood that they didn't have to ask him to elaborate what he was talking about. They understood at the Feast of Trumpets, at the Tekiah Hagadolah, the last trumpet was represented redemption. Come on, we will be redeemed with our glorious body. Some of y'all need to get excited for that right there. Some of y'all that's in pain, some of y'all that's been in suffering, some of y'all that's got grandparents and parents that are suffering and they're believers with the Lord, they're looking for the great day of redemption. They're looking for the Tekiah Hagadolah, the last trump. Why? Because at that last trump, come on, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. But it's interesting, because after that event takes place, then we move into the Day of Atonement. What is the Day of Atonement? This is the second advent. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down from heaven with the saints. The Day of Atonement, he sets up the great white throne judgment, in which those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be judged. And then tabernacles. This is when he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years and rules and reigns with us. He will tabernacle with us. So friends, all of these, listen, it's safe to say, if all these prophetic events all were fulfilled on feast days, what makes you think the Lord is not going to complete, come on, the puzzle and complete it with the final three fall feasts? I'm telling you, I absolutely 100% believe what I'm preaching to you today. I've heard other angles. I've heard other theories, other opinions. But every single time after all the studying I've done, it always reverts back to this, because all the puzzle pieces come together. Well, no, brother, I believe that over there in Revelation 11, let me just turn over here. Let me go to the book of Revelation. I want to turn over here, Revelation 11. I hear this all the time. Well, brother, this is where the rapture takes place. And here's where they get this. All right, so you've got the trumpets blasting, the first trumpet, and then judgment. Listen to me. You got to listen to this real close. Put all this in context. The trumpet sounding, and then a judgment comes, and a woe comes. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because this comes. A plague comes. The waters turn to blood. There's comets. There's destruction. There's earthquakes. The second trumpet comes. The third trumpet blasts. All these are in cessation, these trumpets. Well, hold on. That sounds like the Feast of Trumpets. Well, wait a minute. Watch this. But watch. Judgment. 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 And then we get to the seventh trumpet, and it says, and then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on the thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. Now it's funny, because they stopped there, but we got to read the rest. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations, listen to this, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. Now that is in the context of the trumpet being blasted from the seventh angel. That is, if you put that in context with 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, it does not fit. Here's why. Because Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, regarding the trumpet of God and the gathering together, or the rapture, whatever you want to call it, he says, we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to go be with him. And he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You cannot put Revelation 11, when it's talking about the wrath of God, the God being angry and pouring out his wrath, and the nations being judged. Guys, it's two separate events. Listen, how's it comforting to you? Paul said, comfort one another with these words. How in the world is it going to be comforting to you if I said, all right, church, God is about to pour out his wrath upon you. Blood's going to fly. You're going to have to suffer through all the judgments, the bowl judgments, the vile judgments. The scrolls are going to be open. These trumpet blasts. All hell's going to break loose. Earthquakes and famines and pestilences and war and diseases and plagues and asteroids going to come from heaven. The sun's going to scorch men alive, 100-pound hailstones. But hallelujah, comfort one another with these words. It doesn't even make any logical sense. None whatsoever. And let me give you something else. Even Jesus said himself in Luke 21:36, which you can go back and read it. It's regarding the time of the end or the end times. And when he says there will be earthquakes and pestilences and famines and disasters, there will be wars, there will be plagues, there will be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, false prophets, all that you'll be hated by all nations. He puts all this out there. He tells you how bad it's going to get, and then he tells the church, that's you and me, he says in Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now where's the Son of Man? He's in heaven. He's not on earth. Hello, are you getting it? First of all, he said, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. What things? Everything he mentions in Luke 21, Mark 13, and Matthew 24. Jesus himself in red said, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Now, if you're telling me the rapture's in Revelation 11, why would Jesus tell me to pray to escape it? If we're supposed to be here to endure it, then why did he tell me here to pray to escape it? Secondly, he follows it up. He says, not only should you pray to escape these things that are going to come to pass, but that you may be to stand before the Son of Man. Again, let's go back up here. 1 Thessalonians. He says, those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air, not on the earth. If the church was going to go through this and this event in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 was going to happen on earth and it was going to happen in the tribulation and it was happening at Revelation 11, then where is the Lord mentioned here in Revelation 11? He's not. Because this is a judgment upon the heathen, upon the ungodly, not the church. The church is not involved in this. Because God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nahum says he reserves his wrath for his enemies. And what does it say right here in Revelation 11? The nations were angry and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. They, not the church, them. Come on, guys. I hope you're getting this today. Now, I want to show you something really cool. I'm going to close this today with something that's really cool. When I told you God moves in season, cycles, and patterns. Exodus 19 is an absolute picture of this event mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Again, Exodus 19 is an absolute picture or parallel in the Old Testament of something that's going to happen in the New Testament or in our lifetime. Hopefully it's in our lifetime or in the generation that will be alive and remain whenever that comes. Okay, watch this. Exodus 19. I'm going to read this. Ready? All right. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Somebody say Sinai. By the way, this was at Mount Sinai where this event's about to take place. The same place that Paul went when he received the revelation of this event that we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. Listen to this. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." By the way, that's mentioned by Peter in the New Testament. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded them. And then all the people answered together and said, "Listen to this. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud." Notice he says a thick cloud. There's a reference to clouds here, and there's a reference to clouds in First Thessalonians 4, and also in 1 Corinthians 15. And I don't have time. I should have put these in there, but there's even references to this in the Old Testament about how the Lord comes in thick clouds. Now listen to this. All right, the Lord says to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today." Oh, hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Hold on. I skipped over this. So let's go down. Moses, he says to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words to the people of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes." So notice that the Lord is telling Moses, go and warn the people to consecrate themselves. Come on, sanctify themselves, wash themselves, get themselves ready for an event that's about to take place. Hello, are you listening? "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live." Listen to this. "When the trumpet sounds long." So now he talks about thick clouds, the Lord coming down on thick clouds. It mentions the trumpet blasting long. It mentions a consecration or setting yourself apart before the event takes place. Listen, "When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctify the people, and they wash their clothes. Notice they're getting ready. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings, and here we go again, and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. I love this. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. And now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended." The Lord descended. He came down upon it in fire. "Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly." Now I want to stop here, and I'm going to emphasize something. You go and study for yourself every resurrection that ever took place. There was a great earthquake that followed. When Jesus was crucified on the cross at Passover, the Bible says there was great darkness that came upon the land. The veil was ripped in two. There was an earthquake that took place. Come on, and as a result of the earthquake, it ripped the veil in two. Graves of the dead were opened, and saints of old were seen walking the streets. And it happened at a resurrection. You go to Revelation chapter 11, it talks about two witnesses that will be slain and killed by the Antichrist that will lay in the streets of Jerusalem. And it says on the third day, interestingly enough, Moses mentions the third day here. Jesus mentions the third day. He raises them from the dead, the two witnesses. They're caught up on the third day. And read it in your Bible, Revelation 11. There was a great earthquake that followed, and 3,000 souls were killed from the great earthquake. Now, it's interesting. I'm just going to throw this out there. I believe that the power that will be released from this event mentioned by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, this event, if there was an earthquake that took place when Jesus was resurrected, an earthquake when the two witnesses was resurrected, I believe that the earth will quake at the event of the rapture, the catching away, the gathering together, this transformation, this atomos second, when our mortal bodies will put on immortality. When this event takes place, I believe the energy that's released will cause earthquakes, multiple earthquakes around the world. And again, this is a hypothesis. This is just a hypothetical scenario. This is an opinion, okay? Based on patterns that I've seen. And I base that... And many scholars put the timing of the gathering together or the rapture of the church or the catching away, they put the timing of that in the middle of the war of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39. Now, it's interesting. I've always heard this from many scholars, but one day I begin to read in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. And did you know that in there, in the middle of that war, consequently, it talks about that there will be an earthquake that will be so tremendous that will take place that it says that every mountain shall be moved out of its place. Every island shall be moved out of its place. And it says that the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea will all feel the effects of this earthquake that will take place. The entire earth will shake from this event, this earthquake. What in the world would cause this? Could it be possible that this event will call this event called the rapture, the gathering together, takes place right in the middle of this earthquake, or right in the middle of this war of Gog and Magog, and this is what caused this earthquake? I don't know. But it's interesting that they'll be on horseback as well. Why would they be on horseback when we live in an age of modern technology and modern warfare? Why would they not be in tanks? And why would they not be on these, in these kind of, in modern day warfare? Why are they on horseback? Could it be possible some event, the result of this earthquake, result of this event was so powerful that it caused earthquakes, it caused power to go out, power grids to go down. And this would also explain why you don't read about anywhere in the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation, you don't read about people freaking out, wondering where everybody's at that was caught up or snatched away. Because listen, if people if earthquakes are breaking out all over the world and people are dying, people are falling into the earth, hello, the sons of Korah. The Bible says that the earth opened up and the sons of Korah fell into hell itself and it closed up on them. So don't tell me it's not possible. It's happened before. So this would explain why when people say, where is so-and-so? What do you mean, where are they at? Have you not heard the news? Everything's falling apart. The world is falling apart. And you're saying, where is my family? Where's my family? Where's the neighbors? Where are these people? Hundreds and thousands and possibly millions of people are missing. I'm just throwing some stuff out there. Let me go back to Exodus 19. I got to get through this message. All right, so you've got thick clouds. You've got thunderings, lightning. The people are being consecrated. Now watch this. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord, and here you have the Lord descending upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And listen to this, verse 19, Exodus 19, 19. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder. That's the Tekiah HaGedolah. Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. There's the voice of the Lord. Again, go back and read 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. All these clues are right there, guys. They're mentioned. It's parallel. And God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top. So the Lord came down and Moses went up. Look at all these parallels, guys. Again, this is not a coincidence. This is not happenstance. This is not an accident. These things were written for our admonition, so that we may know and understand these things, so that we can be... Listen, I'm going to read this to you real quick. Let me go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to close this. 1 Thessalonians. I didn't plan to pull this up, guys, so bear with me for just a second. You got to bear with me for a second. Again, I did not plan on reading this. So you're going to have to bear with me for a second, because I want to read this. Because I've got to read this to you. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Listen to this. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, that's us, the church, you have no need that I should write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Who is they? They is not us. They is the heathen, the unregenerated, those who have not accepted Jesus Christ. They're walking in darkness according to your Bible. Blindness has blinded their eyes. They're walking under the sway. The Bible says the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one, unless the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should shine unto them. That's what the word says. It says, the Lord comes as a thief in the night, and he says, as labor pains on a pregnant woman. Again, all these little, these are clues, guys. And they shall not escape. Listen to this, verse 4. But you, brethren, that's us. There was, in the Greek, they had to use, many times they used the word brethren or men, but it actually alludes to all of us. You got to understand Greek a lot of times to understand. This was not just doesn't just emphasize to men. It's those in the church. But you, let me just say this. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness. Who's not in darkness? Talk to me. The church. Who's in darkness? The world. But you are not in darkness, so that this day, what day? The coming of the Lord. So that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us, again, he's talking about the church, not sleep as others do. Now it's interesting. Now he's referencing Matthew 25. The 10 virgins, remember? There's 5 wise and there's 5 foolish, but they were all asleep at the coming of the Lord, which, by the way, he showed up at midnight like a thief. Golly, guys. All these references are unbelievable. He mentions labor pains in this scripture. And Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. You see all these clues? Friends, you and I are not in darkness. Now listen, let me read the rest of this. I got to read this. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour nor the day that the Son of Man will return. For if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have broken into, he would have been prepared and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. All that is in references in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Let us who sleep at night. Let us who get drunk get drunk at night. That's in a reference to Luke 21. Let me go over here to Luke 20. I didn't have, none of this is in my notes, but thank you, Holy Ghost. The Lord has just given me some more addition. I didn't even preach a lot of this in the church this past Sunday in Cordon, but the Lord has given me a little bit more of a download on this. I got to show you this. This is alluding to Luke 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. See how all these parallel? But let us who are of the day, that's us, the church, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Here's your blessed hope. And then in verse 9, I'm going to close with this. For God did not appoint us, he's still talking to the church, to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Somebody needs to be thankful. You're in Him. Somebody needs to be thankful. You're in the bride. Come on. You're in the church. You are the bride, come on, of Christ. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody needs to be thankful you're born again. And if you're watching this, somehow you're watching this by Facebook, by YouTube, by you're listening by podcast, and somehow someone's tagged you in this. They posted this link to you. They shared this with you. Somehow you managed to get in this and you heard this whole message and you don't have a relationship with God. Friends, God does not want you to go through the tribulation. God does not take joy in pouring out His wrath. Do you know that it's the will of God? God is long-suffering and wills that none perish and that all come to repentance and the saving knowledge. He doesn't want you to die, my friends. Satan may convince you that it's hopeless. He may convince you that all hope is lost, that you've gone too far, that you've done too many things. Friends, I'm going to tell you, if your heart's beating, you have air in your lungs, you still have a chance, and you have a chance right now. Come on, I want to give you an opportunity to accept the Lord right now. If you're backslid watching this, it's time to come back to the Lord. Come on, just repeat this. I don't do this very often. Hardly ever do I tell people to repeat a prayer to me, but I feel led to go in this direction. Father, just pray this. If you really mean this, friends, and you really mean this from your heart, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus will hear you. He'll live in you through the Holy Spirit. He'll wash you by His blood, and your name will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He wants you to walk with Him, be found blameless in Him. It's a day-by-day walk. Nobody's perfect. We all fall short. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But He wants you to be in covenant with Him. And I want you to pray this with me. Father, I come to You today and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, You said that if I ask You to forgive me, You said that You would forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I come to You today asking You to forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me, make me whole, and put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. From this day forward, I want to serve You. I want to hear from You. I want to live for You, and I want to obey You. I ask that Your Holy Spirit come in me and live in me and show me what to do. Guide me to a church where I can grow. I can fellowship with other believers. I can mature in Your word, and that I can be comforted, exhorted, and even corrected when need be. I ask that You would come and live in my heart. And assure me through peace that surpasses all understanding that I am saved, forgiven, and washed in Your blood. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you say, well, that sounds too simple. It's exactly right. It's that simple, friends. If you pray that and you truly mean it from your heart, then friends, you are born again. You're saved. If you're backslid from God, just come back to Him. Repent where you're at. Run back into the arms of the Father and get your heart right with the Lord, because time is running. Today is a day of salvation. Don't put off tomorrow what you need to do today, because we don't know what tomorrow may bring, my friends. So again, we hope that you've been blessed by this message today. We hope that you've been encouraged today. All you guys listening by podcast, we thank you for coming on today and being a part of this. Again, you guys on YouTube, we thank you as well. You guys on Facebook Live, all of you, we appreciate you coming on and listening to this today. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, if you'd like to subscribe to our daily digest, you can find more information about that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys got a link there on Facebook Live. You can click on where it says support and follow right underneath that. If you'll click on that link, it's going to take you there. If you're maybe you've been a viewer, or you've been on here many times and you've been encouraged by our weekly broadcast, and you'd like to know more about or learn more about becoming a partner, maybe a monthly partner or a one-time giver, or maybe this is your home church. Maybe you don't have the luxury of finding a home church. Believe it or not, there's some places out there, guys, there is no spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound churches where they're at. And this is all they've got. If you need a home church, we want to welcome you today to be a part of this online community. I know Jessica's on here. She'll probably put up the link. You can click on that link, be a part of our community. You're going to be loved on. You're going to be prayed with. You're going to be supported. It's a place that you can laugh. You can cry. You can be comforted. You can be informed. It's all there. Again, all this is connected to our website at End Time Headlines. Again, we appreciate you. We thank you for your prayers, your giving, and your support to this ministry. And we're going to sign off today. We'll probably be back on here either Thursday or Friday. And this Sunday, we'll be back in Cordon, Indiana at Cornerstone for our monthly gathering there at Cornerstone Community Church. And that will be at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So I will see probably a handful of you there on Sunday morning. So, but until Thursday or Friday, God bless you guys. We love you and we appreciate you. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.